Today on Treasure Top, how is the best way to pray? Hi, it's Pastor John Haggard at Treasure Top. Today we will discuss what a lot of people want to know in part one of how is the best way to pray? If you're a first-time listener or maybe you've joined us recently, you can also hear my other podcast messages on how to make life work when life does not want to work. Just go to treasuretop.com and look for the podcast tab. Subscribe at the same time so that you never miss a message going forward. And for all of my messages, I generally quote from the NASB translation of the Bible, unless I note otherwise. Before we answer the question, how is the best way to pray? I believe that God formed man to also use man to invent radio, television, social media, and the internet to more quickly fulfill the command of Jesus, as found in Matthew 28:19, where Jesus says, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." God does not save anyone before they hear the gospel. Otherwise, how would anyone know what they are being saved from? In his letter to the Romans, the Apostle Paul wrote in chapter 10, verse 17, "So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ." This means a person has to hear that message first and then believe the gospel before being saved. And a person needs a preacher to hear the word of God. Otherwise, how are they going to hear? And how will they believe if they don't hear? And how can a preacher preach unless he is sent? Today's electronic media is one of the best ways a preacher is sent. Romans 10:15 says, "How beautiful are the feet of those who bring glad tidings of good things." And some of the feet referenced in this verse is today's technology that allows us to electronically deliver the Word of God by speaking the Word of God through radio, television, social media, and the internet in general. Understand this very important point. Apart from hearing the gospel, there is no salvation. If someone does not hear the Word of God, there can be no salvation for that person. When you give, you have a ministry of your own. Because your giving allows unsaved people as well as those who are saved to hear the Word of God from me and from other Bible-based preachers. That's how important your giving is. Your donation will help more people hear the gospel. And that's very important because if anyone dies before accepting Christ as their Lord and Savior, there is no second chance to get into heaven. An unbeliever will live their eternity in hell, known as the spiritual death, yet very much alive in the body. To help us spread the saving grace of Jesus Christ, click on the Give button on the website there at treasuretop.com. We are only limited by our financial resources. When you give, you not only bless others with the Word of God, but you too are blessed. 2 Corinthians 9:6 says, "Now this I say, he who sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully shall also reap bountifully." God gives a return on the amount one invests with him. Invest a lot, receive a lot. Invest a little, receive a little. When you give, you are enabling preachers to use your gift to fulfill Matthew 28:19 that we discussed a few moments ago. But just one caution, when it comes to giving, nowhere in the Bible does it say anyone will receive blessings in proportion to their giving. That the more money one gives, the more blessings they receive in the same proportion. That's what's called the prosperity gospel, and the prosperity gospel is a false gospel, not the word of God. So run from any preacher who preaches the prosperity gospel. Father, thank you that we are alive today to hear your word. I pray that you will bless us with wisdom and discernment to know what decisions to make in a world that's heading deeper into the abyss of sin and destruction than at any other point in modern times. We thank you, Father, that Christians are saved by grace through faith, that it's you who draws us, not some magic list of phrases or some preacher. Thank you that your Son, Jesus Christ, was crucified on the cross because all sin must be paid for. In the Old Testament, it was animals that were sacrificed as payment for sins, but in the New Testament, and for all of us who have accepted your Son as our Lord and Savior, our sins have been paid in full when your Son was crucified on the cross. For as your word says, Father, the wages of sin is death. I pray that you would lead me and guide me today in delivering your word to the glory of your name. Amen. So, how is the best way to pray? Before we can answer that question, we must first set the foundation of belief that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior by accepting the Word of God, the Holy Bible, as the inerrant Word of God. If someone does not accept the truth of Scripture, God is under no obligation to hear or grant any prayer of an unbeliever. Now, is it possible that God could grant the prayer of an unbeliever? Well, an unbeliever may think that he or she has received an answer to a prayer from a God that they do not believe in, but I would say that's more of a coincidence. That's because sin is a barrier to a relationship with God. And it's not that those who become converted and are Christians are sinless. It's just that they sin less. And a Christian, one who is truly converted, will not continue to live in a perpetual state of the same sins, for example, adultery, if they are a true believer. Unless it's the unbeliever's prayer of salvation, where an unbeliever is asking Jesus to come into their heart to become converted, God is under no obligation to answer an unbeliever's prayer. The first step to prayer, as I mentioned a moment ago, is one must regard the Holy Bible as the inerrant and true Word of God. God talks to us when we read the Bible. When we pray, we talk to Him. It's a two-way communication. You know, sometimes you'll hear someone say, well, I don't hear from God. I don't hear His voice. So if I pray to Him, how am I going to hear what to do? Well, as recorded by the writer in Hebrews 4:12, for the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. This means that God's Word is alive today, right now. Here is what we know about the Bible, from the Bible, and the Bible is the foundation we must rely on in order to answer how is the best way to pray. In the second epistle to Timothy, epistle means letter, the Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, wrote in 1 Peter 1:23, for you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is, through the living and abiding Word of God. The Bible is satisfying in its contents, like good food. Jeremiah, who served as both a priest and a prophet, wrote in Jeremiah 15:16, thy words were found, and I ate them, and thy words became for me a joy and the delight of my heart, for I have been called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. The Bible is a mirror. James 1:23 says, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. The Bible is water to those who are thirsty. Ephesians 5:26, where the Apostle Paul writes, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the Word. Here, this speaks of the love of Christ for His church. The Bible is meat for our strength. Hebrews 5:14, but solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. This verse refers to the completion that comes when someone becomes a believer in Christ. In this passage, Jesus invited unbelieving Jews to the salvation perfection which came only through following Him in faith. The Bible is like a hammer to break us. Jeremiah 23:29 says, is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer which shatters a rock? God's word is on fire and prevails over the deception of false messages. And the Bible is honey for our delight, Psalm 19:10. They are more desirable than gold, yes, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. This verse is another description of the Word of God. And finally, the foundation we must stand upon in order to answer how is the best way to pray, the Bible is above even His name. Psalm 138:2 records, I will bow down toward thy holy temple and give thanks to thy name for thy loving kindness and thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word according to all thy name. Now, when this verse says thy name, it most likely means that this revelation supersedes all previous revelation about God. This verse is also referring to the tabernacle, since Solomon's temple had not yet been built. The tabernacle was a tent that the Israelites constructed during their wilderness wanderings and is the place where God dwelt among the Israelites, as we read in Exodus 25, 8-9, written down by Moses. And let them construct a sanctuary for me, that I may dwell among them, according to all that I am going to show you as the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all its furniture, just so you shall construct it. Now that we have the necessary foundation understood that the Word of God is the Holy Bible and is the inerrant Word of God, and that we must accept the truth of Scripture in order to answer the question, how is the best way to pray? Here's the simplest way to think about the word pray. Think of the word pray as an acrostic with the letters P-R-A-Y, letters that stand for praise, repent, ask, yield. P-R-A-Y, letters that stand for praise, repent, ask, yield. To pray is really to commune with God. To pray is not something sophisticated or formal, or you can only do it this way, but not that way. To pray does not have to be formal or informal, long or short, in the amount of time you take to pray. The Apostle Paul says in Ephesians 6:18, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. Here, Paul is describing the general characteristics of what a believer's prayer life is. All prayer and petition means variety. It does not have to be the same prayer every day or only certain types of prayers. At all times in this verse refers to the frequency of prayer, that we should be in constant prayer through the day. And we can pray at any time, in our car, walking to the office, going up an elevator. There's really no end to where or how often we can pray. Some people think you have to be in a formal setting or down on your knees to pray. No, you can pray from anywhere and at any time. In the Spirit, in the verse, refers to submission, that we should pray for the will of God in our lives, for only He knows the future and what is best for us. Be on the alert in the verse means to focus on the manner of how to pray. Mark 13:33 illustrates further on manner, where it says, take heed, keep on the alert, for you do not know when the appointed time is. The appointed time being referred to here is to be alert of spiritual challenges and dangers that can show up at any time. All perseverance referred to in the verse means we should be persistent in our prayers. Luke 11:9 illuminates this further, where Jesus says, and I say to you, ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. In Colossians 2:2-3, Paul wrote, my purpose is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely, Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. The mystery of God, referred to in Scripture, is Jesus Christ. The Messiah Christ is God incarnate Himself. Before we conclude today's message, how is the best way to pray? If you'd like to hear a replay of this message, including the ending to today's message that's coming up, just go to treasuretop.com under podcasts, and there you will see a link to the program. That's treasuretop.com, and there you will also see all of our contact information as well as other messages to help you make life work when life doesn't want to work. And sign up for our free newsletter. And because we seek to evangelize non-believers that they will be converted to Christians, and because we seek to energize believers to instruct them with greater knowledge of the Word of God to help fulfill their calling that God has placed upon them, please prayerfully consider making a donation to help us continue to deliver these messages using mass media. Just go to treasuretop.com and press the Give button at the top of the website. We are only limited by our financial resources. And thank you for your prayerful consideration. And now, let's conclude today's message. How is the best way to pray? So we've talked about the foundation of what is needed to know on how to pray, and that's the foundation of belief in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and acceptance of the Word of God, the Holy Bible, as the inerrant Word of God. And then I said the simplest way to think about pray is to think of the word pray as an acrostic with the letters P-R-A-Y, letters that stand for praise, repent, ask, yield. P-R-A-Y, letters that stand for praise, repent, ask, yield. The most effective prayers for the believer are those that include praise, repent, ask, yield. As I mentioned earlier, there is no one way that you must pray, no magic formula to get God to listen to you. What God is most interested in is what is in your heart. What's important is that your prayers are from your heart, not a checklist of prayers in some countdown order that's spoken in the same way every day. Just talk to Him in a conversation like you would to a friend. You can pray to Christ. You can talk to the Holy Spirit. You can pray to God. You can pray to anyone in the Trinity. Or you can say, hey, I want you all to listen. I have something to say, and I'd like all of you to hear it. So yes, you can call them all together or individually. And when we talk about the Trinity, C.S. Lewis wrote, God is a being which contains three persons while remaining one being, just like a cube contains six squares while remaining one cube. Now, the word Trinity actually does not appear as a word in the Bible, but we know from Scripture that God is revealed and understood as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, like we see in Matthew 28:19, where Jesus says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. One thing to know about how to pray is found in Romans 8:26. And in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. This verse means the work of the Holy Spirit also intervenes on behalf of believers in the same way that Jesus Christ intercedes on behalf of believers. Whatever it is we don't know how to do in prayer the way we should, the Holy Spirit is there to intervene on our behalf. How cool is that? Scripture commands not only that we pray, but that we pray a lot. Jesus said in Luke chapter 18 in the parables on prayer that everyone everywhere should pray and not faint. In other words, in light of the afflictions and hardships of life, we should continue to pray. For additional illumination on that point, Romans 1:9, where the Apostle Paul says, for God, whom I serve in my spirit in the preaching of the gospel of His Son, is my witness as to how unceasingly I make mention of you. Romans 12:12, where Paul says, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Going back to the acrostic for pray, P-R-A-Y, letters that stand for praise, repent, ask, yield, praise is thanking God for what He's already done in your life. The fact that you are living today right now is proof that God is not done with you yet, as only He knows the date of your physical death. When praying to God with praise, you can say things like, Father, thank you for the wisdom and discernment that you have given me in life. I know I'm a sinner. I know I've got a long way to go, but Father, thank you that I'm not where I used to be. Thank you for the Holy Spirit in me to lead me and guide me, discipline me, lead me, direct me, show me what I should be doing in ways that honor you. And that's just one example of praising God. The R in the P-R-A-Y acrostic stands for repent. Repent means to turn away from or to set aside. Brendan Kennedy, quoted in the Lexham Bible Dictionary, states, "The Greek word for repentance derives from a verb meaning to radically change one's thinking. Repentance refers to an event in which an individual attains a divinely provided new understanding of their behavior and feels compelled to change that behavior and begin a new relationship with God." End quote. Hebrews 6:1 says, "Therefore, leaving the elementary teaching about the Christ, let us press on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God." Acts 20:21 further illustrates, quote, "Solemnly testifying to both Jews and Greeks of repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ," end quote. And Matthew 4:17, Jesus' first sermon, where Scripture records, "From that time Jesus began to preach and say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" We know Christians by their fruits. Fruits are the external evidences of a change in behavior from what they used to be, pre-conversion, to what they are now, post-conversion to Christianity. Now, while it's possible that there are false Christians who appear to have changed their behavior and profess to be Christians, you know, Judas Iscariot, one of the 12 disciples who betrayed Jesus, was an example of a false Christian. We know that a converted Christian will not continue in the same sins behavior that they were formerly displaying. And this is very important for you to get. The hindrance to prayer is sin. Psalm 66:18 says, "If I regard wickedness in my heart, the Lord will not hear." So we've reviewed what praise is and what repent is, the first two letters of the acrostic P-R-A-Y. Now let's go to the next letter of the acrostic P-R-A-Y and look at the letter A, which stands for ask. Before we can ask God for anything in prayer, we must first be sure that we have repented of our sins, because when I said earlier, sin blocks our communication with God, we found that in Psalm 66:18. "If I regard wickedness in my heart, the Lord will not hear." This is one of the areas where alleged Christians struggle with sin. They think that if they continue on in the sinful behavior, the continuation of the sins that they have been committing, that God's going to somehow give them a break or forgive them because they are praying for deliverance from those sins. As I mentioned earlier, one who has been truly converted to a Christian will display behavior that demonstrates true repentance. A continuation in the old lifestyle of sin is really proof that the person has not been converted to a Christian. Repent always must come before ask, just like it does in the acrostic, P-R-A-Y. What God requires is genuine petition from the heart, as I mentioned earlier, that first asks, "Forgive me my sins." When you ask God, the ask should be made humbly, in repentance when necessary, and thanking God for the promise of forgiveness that He so graciously extends. Now, listen to me here. There is no such thing as an unanswered prayer for a sincere child of God. If you are ill, for example, it's quite appropriate to earnestly ask God for healing. But what we can't do is to order him around or make demands on him. It's possible that God lets an illness develop to protect from something far worse or to impart some much-needed wisdom that we might need. The key is to pray that God's will be carried out at any cost. As recorded in Matthew 26:39, "And he went a little beyond them and fell on his face and prayed, saying," and this is Jesus speaking, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not as I will, but as thou wilt." These words spoken by Christ reveal how Jesus, in his humanity, voluntarily surrendered his will to the will of the Father in all things. We can't see our future on earth. Only God can. In the end, he knows what's best. Because we are ignorant of God's gracious and good intent, ask God for what you believe to be best, but leave the rest up to him. And even if someone is not healed, it's not a permanent state. This life will soon be over. And for those who are Christians, we have a lot to look forward to in fully resurrected bodies that are like new, with no illness, no disfiguration, no injury, no pain. Resurrected bodies will be glorious. They will reflect the glory of God himself as they shine like the sun, Matthew 13:43. And resurrected bodies will be imperishable. Revelation 21:4 says, "And he shall wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall no longer be any death. There shall no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away." In the next part of this message, part two, how is the best way to pray? Next time, we will look at the way Jesus taught his disciples to pray, using the Lord's Prayer as a model on how to pray. That's all the time we have today. Remember that you can download this message right now, free of charge, or any of my radio messages by going to treasuretop.com and select the podcast tab. And you can also subscribe for free so that you never miss another message. And please consider making a generous tax-deductible gift to Treasure Top to help us continue to broadcast the Word of God on radio, TV, YouTube, social media, and the Internet. God does not save anyone before they hear the gospel. Faith comes, Romans 10, by the hearing of the message of Christ. And a person has to hear that message first and then believe the gospel before being saved. That's why your donation is so important. And you can help us spread that hearing with your donation of any amount. We are only limited by our financial resources. There are three ways to give your tax-deductible donation: on the website at treasuretop.com and click on the Give button at the top of the screen. You can also text your donation with the word GIVE to 844-553-1590. That's text the word GIVE to 844-553-1590. And if you prefer by mail, our address is Post Office Box 210, 615, Nashville, Tennessee, 37221. Thank you for considering a generous donation in order that we may continue to evangelize the unbeliever and to energize the believer. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this study in your word today on how is the best way to pray. And thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, who became sin for us when he was nailed to the cross to pay for all of our sin bill in full, past, present, and future sins, so that all believers are able to join you one day soon in eternity. In the name of Jesus, I pray, amen. And now it's Pastor John Haggard saying, until the next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.